Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I suppose it's time to confess to my new parish. The book of John sometimes confounds me. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, are relatively straightforward and tell us the story of Christ's life and death and resurrection. John, on the other hand, speaks in metaphors, and while most of these metaphors relate to the daily life of those people who might read these things when written, they are sometimes lost on many of us today. Today's gospel lesson is a great example of the sort of thing a reader in the first century might understand, and some of us in 2015 struggle to understand. Now in Texas, if you head out into the fields and look along the fence rows, you'll find some evidence of the subject of today's scripture. Mustang grapes grow in our area and generally pop up in the disturbed soil. While several species of wild grapes are native to Texas, the tart, highly acidic Mustang grape is the most common. It climbs trees and drapes itself over fences. Large, old vines can be found in wooded areas and on the edges of pastures everywhere. We've all seen them out in the wilderness bearing the dark fruit that when you pop it in your mouth, you pucker up with the tartness. All of our native grapes are dioecious, producing male and female flowers on separate plants. Only female vines will bear fruit. When we bought our place more than 20 years ago, there was a magnificent grapevine with a base the size of a mid-sized tree trunk. I was told it had never had any fruit, and some suggested perhaps we should remove it. I was determined to see it bear fruit, not understanding that despite all my fertilizer and water and other beauty treatments, a boy plant would never produce fruit. It required a girl plant to do that. Jesus knows his horticulture and realizes the vine and the branches are all part of the story. In John's gospel, Christ is telling his disciples, including each one of us, that Christ is the true vine and God is the grower and each one of us is the branch. So what is it we are to do as these branches? First, we're told to abide in Christ. So how shall we abide in Christ and therefore bear fruit? When Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. He that abideth in me bringeth forth much fruit," as the King James Version says. So you see to the abiding, he will see to the fruit, for he will give it to you and through you. No one can be a fruitful branch of the glory of God until they have a vital, life-giving connection to the vine. And without that vital connection, the sap of life cannot flow in and through you. So before you can have anything else from God or with God, you must have that relationship to God. Before you can have a hope in heaven or forgiveness of your sins, you need to have a relationship with God. So all of us who engage in weekly worship begin that relationship, and then we carry God's word out into the world. According to Henry Nouwen, in a sermon on this very scripture, Jesus makes a distinction between doing and being. Nouwen says, success comes from doing, and fruitfulness comes from being. And yet we are a people of productivity. It is, for the most part, the standard by which we live and measure our success. It's built into our lives everywhere. Productivity is the basis of our economic system. Those who produce are rewarded and get more. Those who do not produce are thrown out. Even within our educational system, the students who do well and produce are recognized and supported, while those who do not get lost in the system. Careers and promotions are based on productivity. Productivity at some level is at the very core of the debates around poverty and welfare, health care, and the elderly. They who do not produce and are care of and often for them often reflects what we think of productivity. We've been convinced that productivity is the goal and only the fittest survive. I wonder if that isn't how many of us live our spiritual lives. How many of us have been told in some form or fashion or come to believe that prune branches go to heaven and remove branches go to hell. That's a misunderstanding of God's requirement of his followers. Productivity does not usually create deep, abiding, and intimate relationships. It creates transactions or deals. Jesus isn't talking about or demanding productivity. He and his Father God want and offer connectivity, relationship, and intimacy. Fruit production is the natural consequence of staying connected. We can see that in long-term relationships, friendships, marriages, and even community. We don't choose whether or not we produce fruit. We do, however, choose where we abide and how we stay connected. We all know how that is. Sometimes we lose touch with a particular person. We no longer know where he or she is, and then we see them. We run into them, and it's a bit awkward. Neither one of us is sure quite what to say. There's not much to talk about, and there's no deep, abiding presence. We realize the connection is lost, and it seems as if what was has been thrown away. Yet other people we run into after 5 or 10 years, and the conversation immediately picks up where we left off those many years ago. So even though we were apart, we never left each other. There was and remains a connection and mutual abiding that time, distance, and the circumstances of life cannot sever. So what fruit am I producing and how much? Those are good questions if we understand and ask them as questions, not about the quantity of our lives, but the quality of our lives. That's what Jesus is after. That's the deeper question he's asking us. It's the invitation to join the conversation, to jump into the game, to participate, to live fully alive. And that only happens when the life and the love and the goodness and holiness of Christ flow in us. It's a relationship of union, even as a branch is united to the vine. We live our lives as one. It's not just about relationship with Jesus. It affects and forms the basis of our relationships with one another. Love for Jesus, for one another, and for ourselves become one love. We soon discover we're living one life, and the fruit of that life and love is abundant, overflowing. So Jesus does not say, do more. He's saying, be more. Be all that you can as you remain in me. Spend time with God. Get to know God more. Let God love you. Take a break from the world and be with God. Be with yourself. Sometimes we all get too busy. We're busy being busy. I used to be so proud to have a calendar filled with something every day. I thought I must be so important to have some important meeting or activity every day. I was obviously missing the point. I had no time for God. God wants us to give our best moments, not just the spare couple of seconds to read a quick devotion and keep running on the treadmill of life. I find myself yearning some days for a day with nothing to do, a day I can spend all day considering God and Christ in my own life. So how are you doing in abiding in Christ? This week, take the time to consciously experience the peace of God in your hearts. Find something to be thankful for and take the time to thank God. Consider your spiritual life. We are each asked to spend time in prayer, and some of us pray while mowing. Some of us pray while running or working out. Some of us pray while sitting perfectly still in the cool air of the morning. The important thing is to realize we are part of the body of Christ as his church, and we need one another to grow and bear fruit. So let's keep working on this growing, and together we'll see amazing things, and we will bear fruit. Amen.